Let me welcome Thomas Merz from ATX. And I'm really curious to hear about an active cluster with Samba.
Sorry for the delay. The video signal didn't want to come out, but now it works. Samba's active HA service. In the Samba community, a little bit a bad title, maybe. So in the first slides, I will tell you a little bit about our background, what we do, and what we call active-active from our cluster perspective, and what's possible with Samba and what's not possible, because many things are not possible. So this about ATX is more about a little bit the background than advertising for the company. The next step, HA cluster basics, just a little bit of background how HA clusters work, what problems we have if we want to bring applications and services to an HA environment. Then, as we're working with a cluster file system, playing underneath our solutions, some cluster file system basics, and then how Samba and cluster file systems interact, and where they don't interact, and then a little bit perspective about what could be done to make this all a little bit better working together. Okay, first of all, two words. We are coming from the consulting and services background, so we do projects, we set up solutions in the cluster environment, so we make proof of concepts, we develop these solutions and stuff like that, and we install these solutions. This couple of references here is only interesting for you because of the Trade Fair Leipzig. I will take the Trade Fair Leipzig as a example on how the things I explain on the next slightly abstract slide can be moved into a real working solution and what pitfalls there might be. So this is what we normally do. We're working with inside environments, so our cluster solutions normally set up on a fiber channels SAN environment where we have storage, which is in the SAN, HP storage, for example, enterprise virtual arrays. So we have different levels of virtualization in HA cluster solutions and load balancing cluster solutions. The first virtualization layer is the storage virtualization, where we have real hardware, so disks and controllers who make virtual RAID systems or real RAID systems and present slices of them as LANs to the server. So we have a first storage virtualization layer. Normally we have multiple ways between the servers and the storage to access them. So if one of the paths just fails because someone plugs out the cable or of power loss, of hardware loss or whatever, so the servers will notice that the storage is gone and they can move on working. The next virtualization layer is that server segment here, which looks maybe a little bit strange. Well, we have here a different servers. I don't know if you can see the different colors. So we have different clusters set up there. For example, one is an Apache cluster, one is in a cluster where MySQL, another application which is not 100% cluster ready in the way we do it, or we have a mail cluster, or we have an NFS. HA cluster or whatever. They are all in this pool of servers. And through another layer of application virtualization, which is normally done by the load balancer or the HA solution or a combination of both of them, the services are then shown to the clients, so to the servers which connect to an Apache service or to a file system service. They only see what they should see. So they see one virtual big server. Also, we have a structure here where multiple smaller servers are beneath, but they can't see that. So there's another layer of virtualization. In these solutions, they are normally quite big because, as you can see here, we have, I think, 15 servers. It might be very complicated to manage them. So it would be wise to have a management which makes it as easy as managing one server instead of 15 servers. So single system management is another point where virtualization of the solution comes into effect. So a system like that should be manageable as a normal one server solution. But the high availability of a solution with different servers should be possible. This is normally achieved using a cluster file system, where all the data is on the storage layer, where all is, for example, on the enterprise virtual array. And these servers normally, in these solutions, don't have a hard disk anymore. They are just CPU and RAM, and they boot directly from the SAN, and they boot one partition. So they don't have their, they have their root partition and their boot partition in the SAN, but the root partition is always the same. So we don't have 15 root partitions, but only one, and they all are booting from this root partition. So if one server fails, we can just plug another server in, tell him which LOM to boot, he boots up, he gets the right IP address, he gets the right file systems, he gets the right applications without doing anything. So this is a little bit difficult maybe, but I will explain this on the next slides from a little bit more practical view, what advantages we have here, and how Samba and NFS and Apache, for example, fits in here. So normally in an environment, when we come to a data center, it looks a little bit like this here. We have servers which have direct attached storage, maybe for a file server. Then we have other servers for web services, for example, who are, once again, maybe a HA solution, who have their own server and who have their own storage. If you want to add storage to the services, you have to know to which service, the file service or the Apache or whatever, you have to add the storage. So maybe you have resources on the one server left, but on the other you're lacking the resources. So you have a little bit of capital lockup, because you can't very easily migrate the storage between the different servers. The next thing is, if one of these servers up there fails, the service will fail. You would have to build an HA solution on all of these services, so you would have to make a double server for the file server, for the second NAS server, a double server with HA solution, and for the NAS server there as well. On solutions with a cluster file system beneath, you can build up such a solution here, as shown on the right-hand side, and you're now very easy in letting the applications you have jump all over the different servers, because all these servers can really see and access in parallel the very same physical files and directories. This makes availability very easy, because you can migrate the different services from one node to another without remounting, without having to care about hanging mounts, for example, and it's very fast to fail over something like that. You can very easily scale it, because you just have to add another server, have to boot it up, and it can be part of this cluster, and it can see the storage. And if you are in a shared root environment, you can even boot it without any installation on the server. This, and now I come to the Trade Fair Leipzig example, was done for the Messe Leipzig, the Trade Fair Leipzig. They had a Windows HA cluster solution, and they wanted to replace that for better availability and better scalability by a Linux solution. And in this way, they just set up a NFS cluster and HA cluster and a Summer HA cluster. The big thing here is that they are all working on shared root, and they all see the same directories and files. We can access, via NFS, the physical same files and the Summer same files. That's very dangerous if you don't know what you're doing, because all these guys can see, if they want to, their home directories, for example, via NFS, and they can see their home directories via Samba. So as there is no real mechanism between the different nodes to see if a file is really locked, there could be file corruption, so you have to be a little bit careful here if you build up such a solution like that. But the point here is that you can have your NFS service running up on this node, for example, and your Samba service on this node, but you can access the same files if you want to, if you take care of these pitfalls you have that you could crash your files. If now one of these services dies, you can just jump it to any other server if you like to. This brings you a very high grade of availability. This is also, it seems so, not an NFS-based solution where you have a dedicated NFS server and you just use other servers, set, for example, the Samba shares upon this NFS solution. All these servers here share the management of the cluster file system, so they all have the same rights on it. If one of the server dies, the other servers have still exactly the same access to the file system as before, so this brings a very good and very fast HA solution or HA underlaying solution to a standard HA cluster. Okay, HA cluster basics. What do we normally understand if we say active-passive cluster? Active-passive cluster is normally a cluster where you have 50% of your hardware, for example, just standing beside, maybe switched off or maybe switched on, depending on the solution. And if your active server dies, you just switch over and you work on the other node or one of the other nodes, depending on how many passive servers you have. It's the usual way you do this, and you have no performance cutbacks if you do that, but you have very much money standing just around doing nothing, which you could use for better purposes. The next thing would be to use an HA cluster in active-active mode, which means that all nodes in the cluster do some job. If you don't have a cluster file system beneath, these different servers would have mounted a single host file system each and would work on that. In case of a failure, all services would migrate from, for example, from server 1 to server 2, and he would mount the file system which were, or the file systems which were mounted on server 1, and would start the services which server 1 had and work on. It's not very good in case of performance, because you now have to handle double or three times the load you had before if you have all services on this one node. You can build up solutions with HA clusters with an N plus 1 or N plus 2 or whatever concept, where you have more nodes in the cluster as you need, just waiting, and then you can migrate all these services you have to one node which does nothing. Is from the performance point of view quite good, but from the money point of view, of course not, because some of these servers are still sleeping. If you do this with a shared root cluster environment, and you think about the slide I showed in the beginning with all this virtualization, in this concept you could take one of the servers maybe you don't need, because you have an Apache cluster with four nodes, for example, and then a Java cluster, for example, with three nodes, or a mail cluster with three nodes. And you see your Apache cluster doesn't need four nodes at the moment to be performant, so you could just take out one of these Apache nodes, just make it to a mail server node, boot it into the mail server cluster, and you could use it as a additive mail server. So you can just very easily, in such a cluster file system-based scenario, migrate resources beneath the different subclusters, and so just with a mouse click or with a command line command, just be very high available and be very performant, and you can react in within minutes, booting a new node into an existing cluster and getting back your availability and performance. HA clusters normally have a problem coming from the point that they need to know the state of each other, because if one of these nodes thinks he's the only one, and the other thinks he's the only one too in the cluster, or he's the only one who survived the crash, they will all try to fulfill the duty, so they will all mount the file system. If it's a single host file system, the file system will crash immediately, because you can't mount, or you can't read and write to a single host file system from multiple hosts. It's not thought for that. If you lay down on the lower layer a cluster file system, this is not possible. The system will work on. So the split brain problem is quite a big issue in such an HA cluster. The next thing is that we don't have only stateless services. That's a thing with Samba as well. If you think about a standard Apache cluster, for example, where you have normally only read access, or mostly only read access port 80, without any consistent connections, you normally can just switch over from one node to the other, and the user client, the Firefox or whatever, wouldn't even notice if we just failed over. In case of stateless services, where data states are saved somewhere in memory, they would need to be shared to the second node, or they would have to be made persistent, so that the second note, if it comes up again, can just start in the very same note to the very same time where the first one failed. Otherwise, you will have to data loss or data corruptions. If you look at database services, they normally all have such a feature so that you can just fail over, even if they would be stateful, because they have redo locks, they can play them in. So everything is locked, what is done, and so they can just start the second node up again in exact the same point of time when the first node crashed. And that's not so easy or not possible with Samba. What's very important is that the HA software just supports stuff like that. Otherwise, if it just switches down one node and switches up the other node again with the IP address and the service, and it doesn't take care of application build-in scenarios, then even data loss might also occur. So you have to be a little bit careful what HA software you use, and if this HA software has component for this application, you just want to fail over. Okay, cluster file system basics. This slide still comes from Zestina, which is now, or which was bought, I think, in 2004 from Red Hat. And it wants to explain what you can do with a standard server setup. Instead of a SAN-based setup or a cluster setup, normally you just can scale a server for a very limited time, because you can just scale up the motherboard with some CPU power, you can scale up the RAM, you can scale up storage if you just plug in JBOTs, if you plug in PCI cards and then connect to the JBOTs, but at any given point in time, this will be the end of the line will be reached, because you can't just scale the server anymore. If you have a SAN environment, that's very much more easy, because you have a server component which is independent from the infrastructure between the server and the storage, and you have the storage component which is independent of the servers. So if you need more infrastructure, you just add infrastructure to the system. If you need more serving, more CPU power, you just add a new server or one new server more. You need more infrastructure, so now you need more storage. You don't dedicate the storage to one of these servers, but you add it to the pool, and then you take your part of the cake from the storage pool and give it to a certain job that has to be done. And then, if you have such an infrastructure, you can set over a data sharing service like a cluster file system with an HA or load balancing service upon. This is a little bit more scalable, because you have these different components. Okay, and this infrastructure is taken for shared storage clusters. Shared storage clusters just have their CPU bleach on the layer, and they have the centralized storage pool, and they get all the data from here. So problem now is that they normally have their local file system on the servers. This is not very nice if you want to manage this service. If you have a two-node cluster, this might work well, because you just have to update and keep two servers up to date. So you just have to look if you're, for example, your Samba is the same version on server one as on server two, but if you have 15 or more servers, this is quite a job that has to be done. So next step would be what I explained before as well. Just move the root image into the SAN. Now every server boots from this very same root image. You just have to apply a patch or a new RPM one time. You have to just to restart the service on any node, and then it will work on the very same version. This has some pitfalls, of course, because not every RPM just can be played on while the system is running. But the idea behind is that you just have to apply a patch one time, and then it is available on every node without any more management. This all needs a layer beneath where it can sit upon. In most cases, when we do it, it's the global file system from Zestina, or from Red Hat, as it's now labeled. The interesting thing here is that it's completely POSIX compatible. So this is what we need if we want to set up, for example, Samba solutions, because we have to have a layer where the Windows writes on files and stuff must be mapped to the Unix layer, and of course we need some locking management because we have a cluster file system, and we need this locking management without a single point of failure. The next important thing is context-dependent path names, because as you can imagine, because as you can imagine, in a shared root cluster, and if you are have different nodes, they just need place for some configurations which are host-dependent. In the Samba case, it's, for example, the TDB files, or if you are looking at the operating system, it's just host configurations for network and stuff. Okay. So we have some challenges if we want to set up Samba on such an infrastructure, because Samba is not the easiest application to run on such an environment. We need to know what kind of service we want to present to our users. Is it just a member server, or do we want to use it within an NT domain as a PDC? And then we, of course, need to do some user mapping, and we have to provide single sign-on, which means if we have a cluster, every node must map the Windows users to the exact same user IDs on the system, otherwise we will run into trouble, because user Joe will see user Thomas files in the worst case, or the system won't just end up in a denial of service. The next thing is we need ACLs to map all the writes, hopefully correctly, from the Windows environment to the Unix environment or Linux environment. And the next thing is parallel access. Parallel access, as I mentioned before, it's possible on the file system layer. No problem if you access the very same file from two nodes. The file system will survive it. The file system is built for that. But what does Samba do if you try that? Next thing is TDB files, where to put on the GFS or not on the GFS. This there are some pitfalls with older versions of GFS, for example, if you put TDB files on GFS. It doesn't like that. The next thing, which relates to the single sign-on, of course, we have to use for a consistent mapping. And then the next thing is how to set up our HA software so that it really works with Samba. So do we use one SMBD, NMBD combination per server and just include in our failover domains different config files, or do we use different SMBD, NMBDs per failover domain? It's something where you have to know if the failover software supports stuff like that or even or not. The next thing is, do we want to build up our WinMine into the failover domain, or do we don't want to do that so that it's just running on the server but not within a failover domain? Okay, I think this I said before that we have to map the ACLs. The next thing is that, for example, cluster file systems doesn't like the TDBs in some cases. So the first thing is we can put this into the runFS because it's just important during the runtime of the service. Or we have to put it into, when we have to put it in the cluster setup, we have to take care that it's host dependent, which is normally done via context dependent symbolic links. With context dependent symbolic links, you can just set up a file system path. This path looks to all the servers the very same way, but the physical location where each server accesses the file system is dependent on the host. So you can set up an etc directory, which looks like it's an etc directory, but in real case, server node 1 goes into directory etc 1, and server node 2, for example, goes into etc 2. So you have a shared infrastructure, but you can just put into there node-dependent, host-dependent information as well. It's very important to set up such HA or load balancing cluster solutions. So Samba active-active on the same share, a very dangerous issue. I'm ready in 2 minutes. Yes, it works from the technical point of view, of course. You can do that, but it might not be very wise because Samba has no mechanism so that you can rely full, stop writing to different servers running Samba accessing the same file. The cluster file system will survive this, but the content of the file might not be at the end this what you really expected. So what you can do is normally multiple read access on the very same share, may be useful for some purposes, but not really for all. But what you can do with a setup like that is a very easy failover, because every node sees the very same physical location, so you can just build up very fast failover between the different SMBD servers. Okay, I will do this very fast. We have, of course, to take care that all relevant mapping information is mapped for all the servers in the cluster, and it's statically mapped, so that not server 1 maps it, maps a user ID from the Windows to a different user ID on the Linux system than the other node does. This is normally done using central backends, like LDAP backends, which you can just put into your HA failover domain if you want to, so that you have a HA LDAP service if you want to. And this is the normal way you can deal, so that you have a cluster-wide and constant mapping between Windows and user IDs. Okay. The next thing you have to consider about is which part in brackets you want to register within your domain. You have to register normally the computer itself, so the node itself, but not the virtual Zamba services you have, so that you can fail them over and that they are still part of the domain. And you have to take care that the virtual, that the server name you give this virtual Zamba service is not the same as the computer's name, because this is normally related to the IP address of the server, but not to the IP address of these virtual Zamba services within the failover domains. So in case of a failover, this the shares hosted on this server wouldn't be available anymore. Okay, I spoke about this down here before. You have to take care if you want to set up multiple SMBD and NMBD services within a failover domain and fail them over completely, or if you have one Zamba service running on each node and the failover does only one thing, which means including different parts of a global Zamba configuration, different shares, for example, into a global config file and then reloading the stuff. Different HA softwares handle this issue differently. Sometimes it's easier to do exactly this here, but more possibilities are normally possible using different Zamba failover domains. Okay. Perspective, I'm ready. Would be very nice if Zamba could handle file locking on a cluster-relevant way, so that it's cluster-wide locking. So we could set up really real HA clusters, real load balancing clusters maybe with Zamba, but this is not possible in the moment. Thank you. Questions?
First, be sure that we are working on the cluster stuff. I mean,
I heard.
Only a short question. What do you do with the log files?
Log files
of the systems.
Log, L-O-G.
Yes, log.
You can just set them up host-dependent if you want to. You have normally to set them up host-dependent.
You did not implement a centralized logging or something like this?
You can, of course, do this. But in a very easy case, you would just create directories where you with content with CDSLs, so that each host locks its own stuff into its own log files. But you can, of course, lock them into syslog as well if you want to.
Okay.
In case of a failover of an active cluster with two nodes, I have to bring up a second NetBIOS name of the second of the second cluster node. How can I do this?
You have normally do you have in your DNS the virtual cluster address?
Mm-hmm.
Set up, yes. So and you always access this virtual cluster address.
I've in case of an active cluster, I have got two virtual cluster.
Yes, of course, you have
names.
Two virtual cluster addresses.
Yes.
And these virtual cluster addresses just jump between the two servers. And
yes,
you have for each server one physical address.
Yes, of course. But the question is, how can SMBD manage them two NetBIOS names?
Sorry to interrupt, but SMBD just doesn't care on which name it is being called as. It can tell via the control parameter %L. It can also use the IP address that it's being talked to on, but it doesn't care. It's not like Windows. Yeah, in that respect, we are really better. We just, yeah, you can call us under any name.
Any more?
Okay, yeah, thank you. Sorry to cut that down a bit, but we have another talk.